ماسك الحكي ايه اول لحن او اكتر لحن قصص ينساب برافو عليك مفتوس طبيعي مش عارفين ايه اول لحن احنا بننساب لحن السلطيس هو الصوب سننسيب خلق لان اللحن ده عادة لما كنا بس موجود يقول بداله ليه صبيب فأشعر ما سمعتوش انا لما الشمس اغلط يقول بقى فرحان انا ما سمعتوش هي this lecture should end by 4:45 so I will end by 4:30 so we'll give 15 minutes for questions so I'm kind of from now till 4:30 I'll give you 15 minutes for questions in the name of the Father of the Son and the Holy Spirit what does it mean as I told you this morning we're speaking about how to serve our children in the Western society So I said we'll speak first about how to serve, then I'll speak about our children, then I'll speak about challenges in the Western society to service. So now we're speaking about how we serve, and we took this part from Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11, Nabi'ul, and he himself has appointed in his church some to be and he himself gives some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ till we, these are the specifications of the church, come to the unity of faith, then knowledge of the Son of God, then to a perfect man, stability, ability to speak truth and love, and fellowship and cooperation. And we spoke about unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now we speak about the third specification of the Church of God. He a perfect man. That's how St. Paul described to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And as I told you, this order is very important. The starting point is to know the truth about the doctrine, about your faith, about your creed. This knowledge of the truth will help you to know the Son of God, not only intellectually knowing about Him, but to know Him experientially. So, you will build experience, one-to-one experience with the Son of God. This experience with the Son of God will develop you, will make you grow into maturity, into perfection, to be a perfect man. And I'm sure some of you heard this from me before. In Genesis chapter 2, ربنا يقول ايه and he made man ربنا قال let us make man in our image according to our likeness so the plan I think verse 16 The plan, you're like, and the Lord God huh? 126 Then God said let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. The church father actually did not let this go easily. The plan, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. But in 27, the emphasis was in the image of God, in his own image, in the image of God, there is no mentioning about the likeness. So the church fathers start to say, is there any difference between the image and the likeness? And God actually created man. The plan is to create man in image after the likeness. But then he ended up creating man in the image. And nothing is mentioned about likeness. So what's going on here? So the church father said, God created man in his image in three things. And then actually, when we use these three things properly, we will grow into the likeness of God. With sin, when we sin, we lose the likeness. We don't lose the image. With the fall and with the sin, we lose the likeness, but we don't lose the image. And if we use the image, right, we will grow into likeness. And when we grow into likeness, that is actually the perfect man. That is a spiritually mature person. That's what St. Paul said, till we reach into a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What are these three things in the image? Our haya, intellect. What intellectual being? Any haya? The free will. The immortality. When we sin, we don't lose our intellect, we don't lose our free will, we don't lose our immortality. So this image was similar to God in his image, because God is intellectual being, God has free will, and God is immortal. Why I'm saying when we use these three things, we will reach the likeness of God. The immortality can either be in eternity, in heaven, or God forbid, in hell. So when we know by our mind, when we know by our mind that we are immortal beings and we will live eternally, definitely with our intellect, with our mind, we don't want to live eternally in hell. That's why we will use our free will to make right choices and right decisions in order to be developed into the likeness of God. So here, when we know by our intellect that we are immortal, we will live eternally, then we will make right choices and right decisions by our free will in order to grow and develop into the likeness of God. Likeness of God when we bear the fruit of the Spirit in ourselves. When we be loving, kind, gentle, patient, long-suffering. That's the likeness of God. That's why all of us, we were created according in 27, verse 27, we were created in the image. And then using the image, we will develop God's plan. We will fulfill God's plan in verse 26 according to our likeness. So we will grow into the likeness. So here's the church. Our service, as we are servants, when we teach our children the true doctrine, and when we help them to build one-on-one relationship with Christ, this personal relationship with Christ, actually, the person will be filled by the Spirit, will be filled by Christ, he will be part of Christ, and then this connection with Christ will make us grow into a perfect man. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. This is like us. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And that's what we say spiritual and good. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. But the third specification, today we will be, till we come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and his definition about the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Everybody should be fulfilled with the Holy Spirit, with Christ. Christ is filling me. That is the stature that I want to achieve. And as St. John said in his letter, as he walked, we ought to walk. So as he walked, as he conducted his life, we also should conduct our life. Think about the fourth specification, stability. Of course, if I am immature spiritually, and the fact that those who are immature, they are infants, children. So children, one opinion will take them this direction, another opinion will take them that direction. They will be actually going back and forth, tossed through and fro by every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. As I said, verse 14, that we should no longer be children. Tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And that's how Satan is deceiving us. Satan wants us to be immature, spiritual. Wants us to be infants, children in Christ. So when we are children, Satan will use the trickery of men, the deception, the upcoming craftiness of deceitful plotting. He will use this to deceive us. And as one time I said, all the power of Satan lies in his ability to deceive. Actually, in the book of Revelation, he was described by the deceiver, Al-Mudir. So, all the power of Satan lies in his ability to deceive. And if Satan actually lost this ability to deceive, he will be powerless. If Satan lost the ability to deceive, he will be powerless. عندما سقط بالهواية الحية, when he fell through the deceit of the serpent and the disobedience of your holy command. But those who are perfect will be stable. The children of God, or those who trust in the Lord, like the man of Zion, they are stable. When the Lord spoke about John the Baptist, he said, he is not like a tree moved by the wind. And ماذا خرجتم لتنظر أقصر وتحرك به. He is not like a reed moved by the wind. He is stable. He is stable in his belief, in his spiritual life. So, when I became a mature person, I will reach stability. I will not be any longer a child. This maturity also will be reflected in my relationship with others. In my relationship with others. Some people in their relationship with others are extremely nice. Extremely kind. Overly gentle. To the extent they never confront the wrong. They never review what is going on wrong. And this is not right. Because actually, one of our responsibilities is to admonish one another. And some other people actually, they are extremely rude. They are extremely harsh. They correct every single mistake in rudeness and in harshness. And this is also wrong. But the person who is developed spiritually, intellectually, psychologically, will be able to speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Without bottom him out. Truth without love is cruelty, harshness. Love without truth is hypocrisy. So, when we grow, and when our children, whom are teaching, are growing into perfection, they will be able actually to speak with one another and to say the truth, but in a loving way. To say the truth in a loving way. Some people think that if you are really religious, you will say, yani, you will speak only the love. But without the truth. But no. This is still infant in Christ, children in Christ. But those who are mature, they can speak the truth in love. And again, that's another evaluation. How our children, when they communicate with each other, they fight together, they say the truth without love, or they are extremely nice to one another, to the extent they never confront or admonish one another. What we are raising? Are we building the church of God? Are we serving the church of God in the right way? Or are we building something else? Maybe in order to have a practical example about saying the truth in love, that's the example of the Lord Jesus Christ with the Samaritan woman. He confronted, he told her that the man with whom you are living is not your husband. And you had five husbands before. So he told her the truth. But how he communicated the truth? In a loving way. He was kind, he was gentle. And because he was able to speak truth in love, that's why he was able to convert and to bring her to believe in him and to transform. That's why I call it ability. You will never have this ability to speak the truth in love without being perfect in Christ, without being stable. You cannot fake it. You cannot acquire this ability without going through these steps. Only you will be able to speak the truth in love only when you have the good sound faith, when you experience the Lord Jesus Christ, when you develop yourself in spiritual maturity, when you are stable in your relationship with God, then you will be able to speak the truth in love. And actually, when we are able to speak truth in love, then we will be effective with one another. My place with you and my position in the body of Christ, I will do my mission effectively. Because I'm admonishing, but also I'm admonishing in atmosphere of love. And this will bring me to the last point. Speaking the truth of love, we may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head. Now actually my growth will affect also your growth. We will grow together. And here, that's who is the servant. The servant who is able to reach this point. Fekrina Matroku seems to be converted into servants or equipped to servant. Who is the servant? The servant is the one who is equipped to be able to speak the truth of love. Now, because he grew, now he will be able to do his part, his service, effectively. And all of us, we will grow together. We may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And now, this image, the body of Christ, is clear in the mind of St. Paul. Verse 16. From whom? And if Christ is the head, Christ is the head. From whom? From that's the body, that's the church. And from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Unity, oneness. There is no division. There is no parties in the body of Christ. Joined and knit together. By what every joint supplied. And this joint actually connect these two pieces together. And this joint connects the arm with the trunk. So with every joint supplies, these joints are like the servants who are connecting and uniting all the members together in one body, the body of Christ. That's why I call it fellowship and cooperation. In our body, the cooperation together between all the organs. And all the organs, they work in harmony together. That's actually what all the servants should be doing. To serve together in harmony with one another. Join and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working. So, not only according to the working, but according to the effective work, how to be effective in your service, how to be effective in your ministry, how to do your part its fullest, by which every part does its share. Every part in your body has a mission, has a goal, has a share. So, as a servant, you will help each one in your class to do his share in the body of Christ. If you have any organ, any member in your body not working, then this is a dead organ. All the organs are working and providing their shape. And this is what will happen, will cause growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The body now will be edified by itself, by what every part provide and participate. And here, what is the bond that unite everything together? That's love, because God is love. So these are the six specifications of the body of Christ. And we as a servant, we need to stop and examine ourselves. What are we building? We should. Have my children, they have the unity of faith. They have the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they grow towards spiritual maturity or achieve spiritual maturity. They are stable and now they are able to speak truth and love, and everybody actually does its effective share in the body of Christ, and all of us who are growing or not. This is actually what St. Paul explained to us about the service. But another important point I like to explain in our service is the Lord Jesus Christ before his ascension, he commanded the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. And he told them, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in the early church, they used to describe the followers of Christ as disciples. Disciples. فمثلا تقرا in the book of Acts, and when St. Paul went to the city, he found disciples there. I mean, he found disciples. He found followers of disciples. And because the word disciples, yeah, was confusing, disciples for whom? So, disciples of Christ. So in Antioch, they started to say, instead of saying disciples of Christ, we will call them what? Christians. And Antioch is the first city or country that replaced the word disciples by the word Christian. So I can say the word Christian equals disciples. ما انا عارف برضه بعضكم سمع اللي انا بقوله ده مني قبل كده, but let me just remind you with it. When the Lord actually used this term, he did not use make pupil ولا make student, but قال لنا نعمل disciple. Pupils actually those who are learning by feeding, بالتلقين. Like the pupil of your heart. Those who are learning by studying, which can be studying student. With those who are learning by discipline. So, if you just give information and give lectures and lessons to your class, you are making pupils. You are not fulfilling the commission of Christ to make disciples. If you ask your class to do some research and to read some papers and to write some like papers about a certain topic or something, you are making students. So now you are studying. But our mission is to make disciples, which by disciplining them in order to become in the likeness of Christ. So, yes, making disciples involved making pupils and students. But we should not stop here, or we should not stop here. And I like to say that the servant is like a copy machine. That's the servant. The copy machine, and that original. في الكوبي ماشين دي بعمل copies of the original. دي اللي هنسميها ايه لايكنس. طبعا الاوريجينال هنا كرايست. So making disciples are like the copy machine. The original is Christ. And my service in order to copy Christ in each one of my children. Actually, who gave me this idea? St. Paul himself. لما قال يا أولادي الذين أتمخض بهم إلى أن يتصور المسيح فيهم. My children whom I'm prevailing pain with them on earth, so that the image of Christ will be portrayed in them. So his goal that the likeness of Christ will be portrayed in each one. So here I can say the children are like the papers in Lab Ayn. أطبع عليها صحيح المسيح. machine, and the original is the Lord Jesus. And the challenges are, actually, with the best copy machine, and with the best paper in the whole world, you will never get identical copy like the original. You should know this. With the best copy machine, with the best server, and with the best paper, best quality of our children, you will never get into them. I'm saying this not just to put despair in our hearts, but to realize the reality, and also to try through the grace of God to be as effective as possible in our ministry, in order to make the copies at least very, very close to the original. But here, if you have copy machine, and actually if there is a scratch to the copy machine, then all the copies will have the same scratch. Right? So, if you have a scratch in you, a weakness in you, actually this scratch will be copied in each one of your children. And we noticed this in our service. Masala, if I am not a man of prayer, I will find that my children are not people of prayer. And the opposite is true. Yani, when a person, a priest or a servant, is a man of prayer, actually all his children will be people of prayer. So the Masalan Baba Kirillus says, he was a man of prayer, and because of his love to the Sikaha al-Had, actually he made the church, many, many people in the church, to be people of prayer. And he learned, actually, the Sibahul Al-Han became copy, because he's a copy machine. So this character in the servant actually appeared in the quality of the children. If I don't read the Bible, and if the Bible is my main, actually, resource, and my knowledge of the Bible is very, very slim, this actually will appear also in my children. But the copies machine, actually, احنا bring them from where? Bring them from factories. And the factories here, what? Is the church. Our churches. So, it is the responsibility of the church to produce good copy machine, to produce and prepare and to equip good servants, if we want to amend identical copy or close to identical copy of the original. How will the church prepare the servants in order to be good copy machine, so they can actually put the image of Christ in each one of our children? But the children here also are the papers. And if you have a bad quality paper, the quality of the paper is not good. Even if the copy machine is good, هتلاقي ان the image is not close to the original at all. And the papers comes from what? From another factory, or factory in the house. Our houses and our homes. Dayman Nool, is it the responsibility of the church or the responsibility of the parents? Actually, it is a joint responsibility between the church and the parents and the houses. Because if we have the best copy machine, but the quality of the paper are bad, the copy will not be close at all to the original. So here there is a word from the house. In order to have good papers here, good children, machine, the server, will be able to make as close as possible an image of the original. So here, this is our mission, how to make disciples. But in making disciples, I cannot myself make disciples unless I myself is a disciple. So I need myself to be a disciple. Then to be able to make disciples, and then actually to train these disciples, train the disciples to be able to make disciples. Imagine, me myself, I should be a disciple. And I should be able to make disciples. And then I will train my disciples to be able to make disciples. This process, what we call reproducing of disciples. And who explained this process? Actually, it's St. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It's easy to remember. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You know, St. Paul made Timothy a disciple. But St. Paul himself was a disciple. So St. Paul is a disciple and he made Timothy a disciple. Fabiolui, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. Fabiolui, and as I made you disciple, I want you actually to make disciples. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others too. So your disciples will be able to make disciples. That is the reproducing of disciples from generation to generation. So again, this is a very important element in our service. Am I a disciple? Am I making disciples? Have we lady in the class are disciples? Did I train them to be able to make disciples? Did I train second generation, third generation? And I have there some khidma fiha khair, or isa fiha khair. And if this servant or abuna is a peer, khidma collapsed. Why? Because there was no training of the disciples to be disciples. That's why, as a servant, as a disciple, there should be a second generation, third generation, fourth generation, reproducing of disciples from generation to generation. The continuous, strong from generation to generation. I think we finished how to serve. The other lecture will be about our children, and then the last lecture will be in the Western society. So now I think we have 15 minutes left. If you have any questions about the two lectures that we give in the morning,
you basically can elaborate a little bit on the tracks. You said in photocopy that if I do have some tracks, so it will be transferred to others. This is very, very critical, very crucial. And I know myself, I have tracks, and yes, I'm trying to be better, but I do have some, and maybe this is the case of me. So how can you basically elaborate on this point, and how can this will affect others, or how can we eliminate the effect of these tracks to
change the jam.
Actually, not many of us have cracks, but all of us. The reality is, nobody is perfect. So all of us. that these cracks and scratches, the weakness, nobody can claim I am perfect. But I differentiate between a person who knows exactly and who is working on his weakness and aware that he will not actually pass down this weakness to his children, and a person who is in complete denial and he believes that he is perfect, like the scribes and Pharisees, whom the Lord told them, if you were blind you wouldn't have a sin, but because you say we see, your sins remain. John chapter 9. And a person who is aware of his weakness, but he doesn't do any effort to improve or to overcome the weakness. So here I'm differentiating between three groups. First group, they know their weakness, but they are trying through the grace of God and they humbling himself before God and asking the Lord to help them to overcome this weakness. And they are growing. That's the first group. And this group actually will be the least group that pass down these cracks or scratches to their students. The second group are in completely denial. And these are the most dangerous group. Because they are in complete denial, like the scribes and Pharisees, like the religious leader of Israel. And because they are completely denied, actually they produce a very, very blind generation. The Rabbana Alu, As-Suri Al Fadi wa Al-Hamar Ma'ala Sahibu Amma Israel Fariyah. Why Israel lost understanding because of his religious leader? They were complete denied. The third group, they know their weaknesses, but they are lazy. They don't do any effort. Or maybe they became hopeless or helpless. They don't know how to work, or they don't know how to cry to God to help them to overcome their weaknesses. And also this group will pass down his weaknesses to their children. So at least, in order to overcome this, I need to acknowledge and be aware of my weaknesses. I should know them very well. I should admit them, confess them, and then through the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit and the direction of my spiritual father, I work on these weaknesses, and this is the only way to stop passing down these cracks to my children.
Mr. Yes, that is his five gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, for the Old Testament, we have promised to prophesy about the coming of the Messiah. Now, what's the purpose to have prophets in the New Testament?
Actually, I want first to comment that these are not the only five gifts. Actually, there are more gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you can read about the list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4, that's Sahih, and also in 1 Peter chapter 4, where 1 Peter chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. But there are then Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Now, here, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. If you read these four chapters, you will have a list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts is the gift of prophecy. The mission or the role of a prophet is to transfer a message from God to the people. God sent Elijah and told him, go say to my people. So he's delivering a message from God to the people. And as St. Paul said in the Old Testament, that God in the former days, he spoke to us through the prophets. But in the latter days, he spoke to us in his Son. So now, Jesus is the prophet with the capital P. That prophet. Actually, this understanding in the Messiah will be that prophet was clear in their mind. That's why they asked John the Baptist, "Are you the prophet?" And the Nabi Adam. Because in their mind they know there will be that prophet. The Messiah will be the prophet. But in the New Testament also, God gives the gift of prophecy to some people immediately. And we see this gift work. By the way, prophecy doesn't mean prediction, telling about the future. But prophecy means carrying message from God and delivering this message to the person. And مثلاً, we read in the book of Acts, Agabus, he was a prophet, and he prophesied that St. Paul, when he went to Jerusalem, he would be bound in chains. And also he prophesied about the famine in Israel, in Jerusalem. And that's why he collected money and sent it to Jerusalem. Philip, the evangelist, had four daughters, and these daughters were prophesied. What's the difference between prophecy and teaching? Because there is the gift of teaching and the gift of prophecy. Teacher is explaining, like what I'm doing right now, explaining the word of God, the word of the scripture. But a prophet, he is a teacher, but with a message from God. He is inspired with a message from God, a clear message from God. And this is a gift given to some people, but in our time, when we saw Pope Kyrillos, how at a certain time he says message from God to a certain person. Rabbana Isaac Tarantez, Rabbana Golik Amin. This is a gift of prophecy. As in the Old Testament, can see false prophets. Until now, there are many people who are false prophets. They're like, I have a message from you from God. And he does have a message from God. And actually, he's imitating Pope Kyrillos and Isaac Bishop Kyrillos and Kyrillos and Kyrillos. But he had a false prophet from the truth. That's why St. John, and like, beware of every spirit, because many spirits enter in the world. And we have to have the gift of discretion and wisdom to be able to differentiate between the person who is a true prophet, who is a carrying message from God to you, and the person who is a false prophet, who is making up a message and delivering this message to you. We do an example of it. Ashok Menas, Yama treated as, I'm saying this, Yama treated as Yamanas, because of those false prophets. And the false prophets can be in the form of just a regular person, whether a man or a woman, or be in the form of a clergyman, whether a monk or a priest or a bishop. You know, and can tell you, I have a message for you to God. And people believe them and follow them blindly. Like an example, look, we have shown the beauty as it because of the false prophet. So beware of the false prophet. But the gift of prophecy exists in the church. يقول أنا خادم أعاني من جفاف شديد في حياة الروحية. He is suffering from dryness in his spiritual life. أصلي بلا روح. He prays but without spirit. مواظب على الإنجيل. ولكن لا أشعر إني أمتلئ. So he studies the Bible but he doesn't feel that he is filled. ولا أعرف ماذا أفعل. هل هي حرب عشان أوقف الصلاة؟ He's asking this award to stop praying. وأشعر أنها تؤثر على خدمتي. ولا أعرف ماذا أفعل. وكثيرا أسأل الله الصلاة أن يعطيني روح في الحياة معه. ولكني ما زلت أشعر إني كما قولك. So this person is complaining about actually dryness is a famous phase that most of us, if not all of us, we go through when we feel we are dry. We are dry spiritually. Yes, we do the things. We pray, we read the Bible, we go to church, we take communion, but we don't feel the spirit in our life. The dryness mainly is because of three things. Zama Rabbana Alina in the parable of the soul. Yama because of the worries and the cares of the world. Yama because of the love of pleasure. Yama love of the riches. That's why Rabbana had the seeds that are planted among the thorns. The thorn will choke the world and choke the person himself. Choke the world and choke the person himself. That's why they will be without skill. So we need to examine myself in these three areas. Am I overwhelmed with the worries and the cares of the world? هل العالم بمسؤوليات وهموم ومشاكل تعبت وشغلني؟ عمال أفكر في مستقبلي وفكر في حياتي أو أولادي مستقبلهم. To the extent I am choked by the worries and cares of the world, these are thoughts that choke the world together. How? Love, pleasure. The pleasure is goal in my life and I want to please myself. زي الناس مثلا هما بيمشوا ورا addictions. دي كلها بتبقى in seeking the pleasure of life. أو الحاجة الثالثة هي love riches, محبة المال والمادية. We need to actually clean our heart from these thoughts. And when actually clean our heart from these thoughts, then the word will become fruitful and will produce fruit in you. فنصحت ليك انك تراجع نفسك في الثلاث حاجات دول. هل انت شايل الهم وعايل الهم باستمرار؟ في فرق بين الاهتمام وعولان الهم. هل انت قلقان باستمرار؟ او هل في خطيه او في محبه للذه موجوده في قلبك واللذه بقت هدف في حياتك؟ ازاي تتلذذ؟ وده بيخلي الانسان ممكن يقع في خطايا كتير ساعة وراء اللذه. ولا المادية شغلة حياتي. دول الثلاث حاجات اللي بيخنقوا كلمة ربنا في الإنسان, بيخنقوا الإنسان نفسه ويخلوا البذرة تقع. حتى بتقرأ الإنجيل فالبذرة موجودة, البذرة تقع بعد كده ما بتجيبش الطعم.
Frustrated and disheartened when by the years they've given to a student, when this person just continues, when their student continues to ignore and be too lazy to fix their own defects. Am I clear? Do you understand?
So your question about the third category, making no effort.
That's right.
Whether they will be passing down these
their weakness. Pass it up.
The student can encourage. The student can discourage the teacher.
Exactly.
And make him more hopeless. And
make the teacher more hopeless.
More hopeless. I believe so, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "A blind leads a blind, both will fall in ditch." So if the student is blind and the teacher is blind, both of them will fall in ditch. And that's why if a person is making no effort, in my opinion, he should be entrusted to be a servant. Because not only he will have a negative effect on his student, but also, as you said, the student may have a negative effect on him too, and will not help him to grow.
Okay, but I'm sorry, this father said that it's a matter of, as you said, we all have cracks. We all know that we're not perfect. But nevertheless, we are given students. We all, and we aspire, and we call upon God to become perfect. And we call upon the day, we pray, we do all the things for akesis and ascetic practices. And still we will have a student who will not do those things and somehow affect the teacher, let's put it that way, affect the teacher, where the teacher, and this happens in city schools, you know, where a teacher will go into a city school with the best intention in the world and have a class full of kids who disheartens them and makes them feel as if they can't do their job. And the teacher is then frustrated. Do you know what I'm saying now?
So now you are saying maybe the teacher is doing by the effort, he's in the first group, but the lack of response of the children make the teacher hopeless. This might happen, but actually here the servant doesn't understand what is the definition of success in service. فاكر مرة احنا عندنا في الدايسيس we spoke about burnout syndrome in the service of the priests. What makes a priest feel his burnout? And one of the reasons, when you feel that you serve and you serve and you serve, but there is no fruit. And how can actually I evaluate my service? And how God can evaluate our service? We need to be faithful and wise in our service. But the fruit and the produce, this actually will leave it to God. Then at Narda, you heard also in the Green Letter tomorrow, ليس البارز والغارز شيء بل الله الذي ينادي. Not the person who plants, not the person who waters, but God actually who make the fruit grow. And maybe in many, many times, I don't see the fruit in my time, but those who come after me, they will see the fruit. And the Lord said this to the disciples, you others have labor, and you entered into the reap. So maybe others work hard, and then we reap the fruit of the work hard. That's why if I don't see the fruit, I should not be disheartened. I should not fall into despair. I should not fall into hopelessness. Because I'm sure the word of God will never return empty. كلماتي لا ترجع فارغة. So maybe I cannot see the fruit in my time, but or during the period in which I am teaching this class. But maybe the fruit will be by other people. would not serve his people after me. So here you need to be faithful, you need to be wise in your ministry. And if you are responsible of planting or watering, do it. But we should know that God is the one who makes the rule. هذا كافر سؤال عشان أرفع إيده معلش عشان نلتزم بالوقت في الجنة
فضل should the servant feel guilty
should the servant feel guilty if one of his children is not
following
is not doing well as well as he do all his effort with him. Maybe this will be a continuity of the same question, but can we get the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that even his disciples did not, one of his disciples did not reach the kingdom of God, and this will give us hope that it's not only to get all the children to the image of God. Is
as I said, how we evaluate the success, not by the fruit, because as I said in the class of the Lord Jesus Christ, one person lost. So I will examine myself, and if I did my service faithfully and wise, then actually I will feel sad about the service. But on the other side, who can claim that we did our service peacefully and wisely? That the fact all of us have weaknesses in our service. So let us take this. If I have one person drifted away, with this sadness, or maybe if there is some guilt, let us use this as a point to think more, to see how we can restore this person, how can we bring this person back to the sheepfold of Christ. Just feeling guilty and blaming yourself or feeling sad only is nothing, but this feeling should be translated into action, into work. Like when St. Paul found this sinner at the church of Corinth, I'm sure he felt sad, and he said, I wrote my letter with many, many tears, but he made an action, and he developed a course of action, and after this he sent crisis to follow up with him, and this person was restored back. So feeling guilty or feeling sad, I should use whatever feeling I have as motives to do something or to think about some other thing that can help this person to restore him back. So that is faithful, and that is wisdom in ourselves. How to be faithful and wise in ourselves. Okay, so it's 5 minutes. I'll take his question. But nobody. Please. Please, you have a chance. Okay, yes.
I'm thinking about the icon of the washing of the feet. And Christ is there. Because they follow a form, right? So there's Christ washing Peter's feet. And Peter has his hand over his head saying, he's going to fall with him. And so this particular icon passed everyone at Judas. Okay? And we know that as Christ took his disciples, he was aware, of course, being God, of something wrong in the heart of this person, something
And he even brought him to the table, shared with him at, the Eucharist. But still, and so finally he says, go do what you have to do. Make it quick. Now, what do you think our master's feelings were when he himself lost a disciple?
His heart was grieved to lose his disciple, and he tried with him to the last moment to bring him to repentance. Even when he met him at Gethsemane, he actually admonished him and he told him, with a kiss you betray the Son of Man. So definitely Jesus felt grief, and he tried with him to the last moment. But again, Judas at this moment, he was in denial. And after this, denied because he said, "Is it me, Master?" That's denied. And after that, he felt he felt in hopelessness and killed himself. So you are saying we are not strong as Christ, so how can we keep ourselves motivated and hopeful? You know, that's why we meet together, in order actually to stir one another and to motivate one another and to support one another around the table of the Lord and with the Holy Spirit working in us. That's why word one another in the New Testament was repeated more than 50 times. But it's spoken toward one another to motivate and to encourage each other. And believe me, if Judas went to one of the disciples after betraying the Lord Jesus Christ, and he talked to him about that he decided to kill himself, in my own personal belief, I believe maybe this thought will depart from him and he will be saved. But he disconnected himself from the rest of the disciples, and he decided to kill himself and did not share this with any disciple. That's why we should not disconnect ourselves from others. Being in the assembly of the believer, communicating and connecting together, as we read in Ephesians chapter 4, this will help the body to grow together, all the members of the body to grow together in love, and this is how we'll be motivated and strong in ourselves. And here I have to ask you a further.
In your grace's opinion, how we can apply those valuable facts of dogma in our day-to-day life, and how we can teach our servant least to benefit from those facts?
Of course, this is a very long, you need to take each dogma and think about how to apply. But let me give you an example about the Holy Trinity. Does it make any difference to say that God is triune God or only one God, there is no Trinity in Him? Actually, yes. This will affect my life. In order to inherit the kingdom of God, you have to be a son. Only children inherit it. As St. Paul said in Romans 8, if we are children, we are heirs. many children God had? Actually, he has one son, the only begotten son. And we by nature are not children. We by nature are not children. So God actually, God the Father, has one son. This son became the bridegroom to the servant, to the maid. So now this maid, her status changed from a maid to daughter-in-law. So when Christ married the church, the bride, now in Christ we became children to God the Father, and we became eligible for inheritance. And I feel like a man proposed, that's preaching the word of God. Accepting the proposal, that is believing. Then actually there's actual marriage. Who's doing the marriage? The marriage is done by the Holy Spirit. Held in the sacraments of the church. That's why St. Paul in Romans 8, he said, the Holy Spirit is witness that we are the children of God. الروح نفسه يشهد أننا أولاد الله. يشهد ليه؟ Because the Holy Spirit is the one who made this marriage between the church and Christ. How the Holy Spirit made this marriage in the sacraments, in baptism, in confirmation, confession, chrismation, communion. علشان كده أقدر أقول بقى we are the children of God through our marriage to His only begotten Son, through the work of the Holy Spirit in the sacraments of the church. So now the Trinity here is not just an intellectual doctrine, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But now I see how every hypostasis in the Holy Trinity is actually participating and working in me and with me and for me. So here how we, our understanding of the doctrine will be practiced, applied, understood. It's not just something theoretical. And this can be applied on all the doctrines of the church. Had we all, well, God will prevent His grace from our kids because of our weakness or laziness, or can we come to say it is too late now? It's never too late, and God actually will not withdraw His grace from the children. But that is encouragement to not be lazy, because in Ezekiel, Rabbeinu Elohim, and you cannot be shepherd anymore, but I will shepherd by myself my flock. So here, those lazy shepherds were punished, but God actually took care of the flock. So yes, God will take care of our kids and our children, but we will be, and God forbid, punished if we became lazy or faithless in ourselves. Glory be to God for the Lord.